This is East End Ink. Tonight we present three poets from the publisher Four Way Books. They were presented virtually by Canio's Cultural Cafe of Sag Harbor. The poets are Andrea Cohen, Rodney Terish Leonard, and Angela Narciso Torres. To begin, here is the poet Andrea Cohen reading from her book, Everything, published by Four Way Books.
This is called Wrecking Ball. Wrecking Ball. Its offices are thin air. On days off, it still goes in. Wrecking balls are workaholics. They hang around up there. And even the idea of big sky crumbles. Desert Isle. If I have to go there, I'd like a phone book I can sit on a chair. I'd like to believe I'm a child someone comes back for. Everything. Everything was beautiful and nothing hurt, Kurt Vonnegut said. Everything was beautiful and nothing hurt, the girl slurred to the artist at the tattoo parlor. The word made flesh isn't fictional. It's beautiful. It hurts. After the accident, we had the phrase, after the accident. Also this, before the accident. We had a drawer marked before and after. And after and before happenings, we'd add atrocities and incidents and the wild asters someone before and after keeps leaving. Fellow traveler. She went everywhere with an empty suitcase. You never know when you'll need to leave swiftly, with nothing. Ring. To throw your hat in is to make yourself bareheaded, ready by oils to be anointed, or by arc-hard rains of an instant, stricken. Self-portrait with eraser. I drew the eraser first because I knew it better than I knew myself, and because it had been around the block before me, and because it would, after having its way with me, rub up against everything I'd ever loved. This one is a bit longer, which is to say it has more than six words in it. It's called 11. It's the 11th hour on the 11th floor. We chose this apartment, if not this hour, for the light, though my father could, from any height, look back. Below are oaks and magnolias and tracks on which freight and passenger trains pass, and my father knows the difference by the blowing of their horns, both of which he prefers, he says, to that other one he's hearing, by which he means Gabriel's, disguised as tinnitus. He's remembering also, since its fall, the shofar Herb Karp blew for the new year. A sorrowing sound, he always said, especially if you were a ram. That day we moved him from the split level to the 11th floor. We brought a few photographs and chairs, lamps to see the dark with, spoons, a cup. It was a kind of sky burial. He has his pocket comb. He has his wristwatch with the busted strap. He has his wallet with a dollar. He's getting smaller and smaller, his vast past vaster. Looking out from the 11th floor is like looking from a hole punched to make a room into a camera obscura. Anything can be a camera. Anyone might be in this area, but today it's us watching on the compact TV what he watched, wrapped at the Imperial Theater in 1936, Buster Crabbe as Flash Gordon trying to stop the planet Mongo from colliding with Earth. "I forget how it ends," my father says, "but it ends." And then we're looking from the small screen out the sliding glass toward dusk, where below us on fluted Spanish roofs, two men in straw hats are ambling the inclines of tiles without ropes or harnesses, without fear. One man is tossing bottles of water to the other, who's smoking a cigarette and catching the bottles, and unthinking danger and OSHA and laborers in the vineyard. And my father, from his 11th hour, says, "Lucky devils." Rail. By the time we'd built the handrail, the hand had vanished. Yet still there was a sky to rail at. Shiva. Evenings we sit in the living room together. Friday, I take my mother's slot, noon, at the beauty salon. Ruth, who for 40 years washed her hair, washes mine. We're all in the desert together. "Your mother liked the water cold," Ruth says. News to me. From 1,000 mouths are dead assembled. I had a great mom and I had a great dad. And they gave me some poems as well as pretty much everything else I've got. Yeah. This is called No Moon But. I knew it was the beekeeper who touched me, not because she tasted of honey, but because she was unafraid of being stung. Registry. They asked for what they'd need, one cup and one plate, one day whose stunt double would be night, and two miner's lights, for when each was lost to the other. Love. It's an extreme sport, like indoor beekeeping. First love. She was always leaving the dark on. Matinee. Performing love is what she said. It was the first time I'd heard this expression, and the first time is special. You want at first to bow or curtsy, to listen for applause, for the mercy of a curtain. With. It's a four-letter word when you're without. Shadow boxer's complaint. Shadows don't fight fair. Still trying to get down to the one-word poem. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm getting close. Guide to becoming a human shield. Live near spears. Bearer. We raised the flag from half to full mast, and someone had to ask what didn't happen. This is called After the End. Listen. There were other ends, other reckonings. There were other one-size boots, one kick fits all. There were other dark days no night could mirror. Hear me out, if someone above the rubble can. This is called Bell. There was a bell that rang in my dreams. It was beautiful, and I was careful not to ring it too loudly, lest I wake.
This is East End Inc. We heard poet Andrea Cohen reading from her book, Everything, published by Four Way Books. Next up, another Four Way Books poet, Rodney Tarish Leonard, reading from his book, Sweet Gum and Lightning.
Manners Tilt Country, and it's for Visca Martin Edwards, 1889 to 1978. In this house, manners tilt country. Fig preserves faint on biscuits. Stop looking down my throat. A child's chair, clear of grown talk. The patterns of two left feet, 6 and 7 year hands, cousins in the settled dust. Black ants circle American sweet gum, and lightning, plural of talk, loses its temper and gongs the jug's metal dipper. Grandma Visca, Emma, Maddie, and Queen Esther's mother, frocks pink and black bonnets, pulls heat and poison from wounds. Wonder why she morning rakes the front yard with cloth-tied brush brooms. I was very fortunate, you know, because I got to meet my grandmother, great-grandmother, you know, for about 8 years. And she was the first person who uttered the word poet. She says, oh, you're a poet. And I said, oh sure, Grandma, whatever that means. Like, can I have some tea cakes or something? But she planted that seed. I'm going to read another poem called Hula Hoop Children. This book really nods, you know, to my origins, real and imagined. And I was a really awesome hula hooper. I mean, I could really work that hula hoop. I could still hula hoop too, but it was one of my favorite affordable childhood toys, Hula Hoop Children. Thumb suckers and inside pant players spin through the air on merry-go-rounds, nip their affection for after-school television as if anesthetized by cotton candy. You know them, they chew boogers. Boy-to-boy pajama dreams, they come here switching khaki gestures of someone else's embarrassment. One Thanksgiving in 1978, I asked if I could marry a cousin. Asked in the company of dentures and frowns, amid mounds of meats and starches and sweets, hell broke loose in a room full of what the F's, potato salad on lapels and the floor, onions and gravy gone to waste. This is not good, I say. Who are these limber children mouthing for meat and mash season, whose spasms for drama are tulips and precise? Hula hoop children, argyle and polyester, platforms and rouge. Some Saturday they'll twist and purple their locks. You know, I went through a time when I was going to church on Sundays up to Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, and for the music mostly. So I came to know, but I didn't really know this woman, and she would see me every Sunday, and she says, "Oh, how are you?" Like every Sunday, "Oh, how are you? How are you?" And in one of these Sundays, I said, "You know, I should really, really, really tell her how I'm feeling, what's kind of going on with me." And so this is kind of a response to that question, which I choose to believe was really sincere. Response to Miss Edie's every Sunday question, "How are you?" Fifth rum and slow piano, shoe haints out of my head. Ever felt the curt masculinity of hurt latched unto your navel? You must be scorched hearing when times were toothsome as wild salmon and couscous about a lone leaf skating Amsterdam's canals, the small hand of the clock, 7 p.m. each July, tucking under collars at the North Sea Jazz Festival, about lavender and peppermint tub soaps, and the auburn-creased refrigerator note, "We are us, whether loved or lonely." I was always a veteran warrior, wide within winter waters, Miss Edie, nibbling and gnawing on memory. Apartment 5C on 73rd and 5th, whistled mattress and magnum, tuition and food again.
Oh, wow. You know, I was just really happy I finished that poem. Made me feel really, really good. I want to pivot music to music, thematic music. The music that learns us. I went through this W.G. Sebald marathon reading all his books. And so it's really kind of a splatter throughout the book. Discreetly, the music that learns us. Facing the blackboard, the teacher whistles a melody of marble tenderness, entanglement, intrigue, or spook. Perhaps in retrospect, Monday thoughts of cared for cashmere, or the end bite of Sunday's sweet potato. It simmers and simmers, the music that learns us, the mamas and the papas, Queen Latifah singing California Dreamin', the ear is nobody's fool. I'm going to read one called Daydream. Now the title is taken from that Duke Ellington song. And there's a great line in it. He says, deep in a rosy glow. Daydream. I had this same daydream last year, whether we should go ahead and want this fire. We men are fast gum chewers when with ourselves, our tones notched down, and what we mute outright, we specify via text or a thumb on the shoulder, rotating. The gallop from elusive neighbor to slow need must have started with a tight beige tunic, the shorn facial and Caesar, and the day's newness to two things, Roach's freedom now sweet and 21. Easy to see why hippie parents skip baby talk. Surely, I had this same daydream last August. His young woman in Paris and me with me. Whether we should go ahead and want this fire. Fever this urge with a splash of vetiver. Here again, we specify and pivot. The gallop must have nudged Wednesday's Randy. Must have started with Abby Lincoln's vinyl holler. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're listening to East End Inc. We heard Rodney Tarish Leonard reading from Sweet Gum and Lightning, published by Four Way Books. Now we hear Angela Narciso Torres reading from What Happens Is Neither, also from Four Way Books.
This poem I wrote while I was living in Chicago, and it's called Warm Spell February. For the first time in weeks, the wind doesn't cut like an insult. My dog feels it too. I slacken her leash so she can dig her nose in the wet underbrush letting her sniff as long as she likes. A woman walking on a San Francisco beach once told me, "We need to give them time," meaning the dog, snout deep in tangled seaweed. To them, it's like reading a good book. Somewhere I read that Murakami trained for marathons the way he writes, pushing his legs to the next mile like he pushed his pen to the end of one sentence and then the next. Today, I'm in no rush. I tread slowly, sipping the air the way the Pacific Ocean swallowed our brown bodies just outside Manila, our mothers waving us back to steamed rice, fried fish, mango on a stick. Why do I remember? Would I think of this now if the air weren't soft with last night's showers, warm as a mother's breast? Would I dare to say the twigs are chandeliered with rain like pearls from a girl's ear? I breathe. For the first time in weeks, I'm returned to my skin. I grew up in Manila, a very, very warm, humid place. And I grew up among matriarchs who knew everything, just everything. And this poem evokes the folk wisdom that they passed down through generations to us children and on, that both terrified and fascinated me. I wrote a poem about it, and it's called If You Go to Bed Hungry. If you go to bed hungry, your soul will get up and steal cold rice from the pot. Stop playing with fire before the moon rises, or you'll pee in your sleep. Sweeping the floor after dark sweeps wealth and good fortune out the door. Fork dropped, a gentleman will visit. Spoon, a bashful lady. Bathing after you've cooked over a hot stove makes the veins swell. For safe passage to the guest who leaves mid-meal, turn your plate. The adage goes, coffee stunts growth. 12 grapes in New Year's, the opposite. Advice from the learned, book under your pillow. Never step on, never drop. Every rice grain that remains on your plate, you'll meet again on the footpath to heaven. You'll have to stoop to pick up each one. So the next poem is A Golden Shovel, which many of you might know is a form invented by the poet Terence Hayes. It uses a line from another poem, usually in tribute, and each word of that borrowed line becomes the end word then of each of the lines in the new poem. So if you read down the right-hand margin, you'll see the borrowed line in its entirety. This poem borrows a line from Yeats. It's from his poem, The Circus Animal's Desertion. And the line is, the foul rag and bone shop of the heart. I'm not just talking about the sleepless days and nights, the nonstop nursing, the foul smelling diapers. I'm talking about how my body reeked, a soaked rag of curdled milk, drool and leaky nappies, and how I'd wake already beat beyond blood, bone, and breath, the babe still at my breast. But when I pushed past a shop window the other day, I turned to do a double take, a glimmer of a woman I once knew. No, it wasn't just the wind-tossed hair, the morning weary face, but oh, the heart. The heart. So being February, the month of love, and just a few days from Valentine's Day, I thought I'd read this love poem I wrote ostensibly for my dog. And if you have seen pictures of my dog, if you're on Facebook, she's more popular than I am. The title of this poem comes from a Spanish film called Amores Perros. Amores Perros. Sometimes I love you the way my dog loves her all beef chew bone, worrying the knuckled corners from every angle, mandibles working like pistons. Her eyes glaze over with a faraway look that says she won't quit till she reaches the soft marrow. Her paws prop the bone upright. It slips. She can't clutch it tight enough, bite hard enough. A dog's paws weren't meant for gripping. And sometimes I love you the way my dog brushes her flank nonchalant against my legs, then flops on the floor beside me while I read or watch TV. Her heft warms. One of us is hungry. The other needs to pee. But we sit, content as wildflowers. Minutes pass, hours. What happens is neither. It's also the first line of the poem, so I'll just read through it. What happens is neither the end nor the beginning. Yet we're wired to look for signs. Consider the peonies. One makes a perfect bud after months of nothing. Another's leaves are ringed with black rot. How can I not think end? How can I not say beginning? Leaves fall when days shorten because a tree must reduce to its tough parts, twig, branch, bark. My mother sleeps away the daylight. She nods off while chewing a spoonful of fish and rice, her head a peony gone to seed. Father calls to say she doesn't recognize him. Turning to him, she cried out, certain a stranger was in her bed. He played his violin till she slept, a leaf in late fall curling into itself. In autumn, chlorophyll disappears, canceling green from leaves so yellow and magenta can blaze. In my mirror, I see her, the smile that favors a cheek, eyes slanting in the shape of small fish we eat for breakfast. Trees know best the now of things. What goes on has been going on for centuries. Washing dishes, I rest a foot on my standing leg. A fork clangs on the tile. I rinse a cracked cup. I try not to think of endings. Thank you.
This has been East End Inc. We heard three poets published by Four Way Books. They are Andrea Cohen, Rodney Tarish Leonard, and Angela Narciso Torres. The complete reading is available at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Upcoming online literary events produced by the nonprofit Canio's Cultural Cafe include on Thursday, April 1st at 7 p.m., a book discussion with Scott Chasky and Rameshwar Das on being Ram Das. And on Friday, April 16th at 7 p.m., art historian and mystery writer Helen Harrison reads from her newest mystery, An Artful Corpse. To listen online, you must register at canios.wordpress.com. Simply click on the calendar of events. East End Inc. is heard on the 4th and occasionally 5th Wednesday of every month at this same time. Programs are archived at eastendinc.blogspot.com. And podcasts are at soundcloud.com. Simply search for East End Inc. Tonight's program was produced by Tony Ernst with the help of Marianne Calendrill and Catherine Soka.